every season of our life, we can have a confidence that God is with us. Amen. And I tell you what, it doesn't matter when that temperature drops low or if it was high today. This is still the day that the Lord has made, and we have reason to rejoice because God is with us. Amen. And I'm telling you that our Lord is in the business and in the process of touching your life. I tell you, we are in this new year, and I'm telling you that God is starting us on a journey, and I'm telling you, we're going to see great manifestations of the goodness of God. Amen? Now, I tell you what, I thank God that we're here and that we're ready to go. Praise God. And I tell you what, we're just going to step into the moments of worship and the blessing of God for us this morning. Amen? Praise the name of the Lord. Hallelujah.
Amen. Stand your feet with us this morning.
The king of my heart.
'cause you are good. You're good. Oh, you are good. Come on, it doesn't matter what situation we're in. Our God is good. Our God is faithful.
The name of Jesus Christ, my
What a beautiful name it is. Nothing compares to this. What a beautiful name it is. I want you to sing that again and just sit in His presence this morning. What a beautiful name it is. What a beautiful name it is. The name of Jesus Christ, my King. What a beautiful name it is. Nothing compares to this. What a beautiful name it is. The name of Jesus. Lord, you're worthy. You didn't want heaven without us. So Jesus, you brought heaven down. My sin was great. Was greater. What could separate us now? You didn't want heaven without us. So Jesus, you brought heaven down. My sin was great, but your love was great.
Praise God. Hallelujah. Jesus is Lord and he is on the throne. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Well, it is good to see you all today, and I'm just blessed to have you here with us. Amen. And just resting in the Lord today and just being strong in who he is making us to be. Amen. Praise the name of the Lord. Boy, I know it's a little chilly today. Amen. Whew. But I thank God that whether it's chilly or not, he's with us. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise the name of the Lord. So I do have a couple announcements for you. First of all, the teens gathering is tonight at 5:30. So that'll be an awesome time, and they're going to have a good time together. And then I want to remind you that on February 14th at 6:30, we're going to have a Valentine's Day dinner here. And then right after that, we're going to go to the EXO Marriage Conference, okay? So here's what I want to encourage you. I'm praying that you all have great, solid marriages. And I definitely, if you have a great, solid marriage, come to the marriage conference. We're not, you know, anytime we're teaching, it's just about adding to you to have something to build upon. So this isn't something that is supposed to be just if you have a struggling marriage. But if you do have a struggling marriage, then I definitely want you to come to the EXO conference. And then if you're single and you're just interested in coming, or some of you might be in a situation where you're considering marriage or something, I want you guys to come, and we're all going to join together, eat together, and learn about marriage together. So there's a sign-up sheet back there. That's so we know how many people we have to prepare food for, because we're going to eat a good meal. Praise God. And then we'll be off and running on the conference. So that is the 14th of February. So we want to be able to do that. Trying to think of what other announcements I may need to make. Oh, I guess I could make this announcement. As you can see, I am a bachelor today, but not in reality. Amen. I tell you what, I toe the line within my marriage even more so when my babe is not around. And I want to make sure that everything's good when I catch up to her. Amen. So we are going to be on vacation. As you know, we go at least once a year, and we're going to our favorite place. So he's already there ahead of me, and I can't wait to catch up. And couldn't have picked a better time, huh? That weather out there, I tell you what, that weather's so cold, it makes me restrain from going to get a Big Mac. And it takes a lot to get me to restrain from going to grab me a Big Mac. My goodness, praise God. I got up this morning and I thought, geez, oh man, this is cold right to the bone. Amen. Woo! So we want to make sure we can get out and around from that. And I also want to thank each and every one of you that was able to help or that visited with Carol and his loss of Vicky, a great part of our church and a wonderful lady. But everybody that came together to help and brought food and was there for the fellowship, all of it was beautiful, worked out well. So I thank you for that. And I was glad to see Linda and all the family back from headed up towards Finley, where she had to lay her brother to rest. And so we want to keep the Miller family up in prayer too. But God knows that these days are out in front of us. Amen. And so that's a part of the covenant, part of why we serve. It's part of why we believe, is because we're going to finish this course and have somewhere to go. Amen. Praise the name of the Lord. So I better let the children's church get going. And praise God. I know that they're excited. They got their own little thing going, and they like it when they get to be a part of what they're doing. Praise the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. And this morning, we're going to take up our offering. I want to remind each and every one of you, and I talked about this Thursday, but the Lord put it back in my spirit this morning. And so I'm just going to go right back into the idea of being a cheerful giver. And the Bible says that we know that we're supposed to, if we sow sparingly, we'll reap sparingly. And that means that if you just sow a little bit, it's going to hinder what harvest you can receive. But the Bible also says if we sow bountifully, then we can reap bountifully. That means that the more we sow, the better opportunity we have to reap a harvest. But in that, here's what I want you to know, is that with the absolute certainty, the Lord says that we should purpose in our heart to give and to do it cheerfully. And part of the reason why God tells us to purpose in our heart to give and to do it cheerfully is because he's the discerner of the hearts and the intents of men. Amen? And what God is trying to do is bring us to a place of that kind of integrity where we're giving out of our confidence in God. Amen? And we're giving out of our trust in God. And we know that God is faithful. Amen? Amen. And he's able to make everything abound. And he's able to touch everything we do. And we want to make sure that as people, that we have our spirit open to say, God, not only am I going to give, but I'm giving it purposefully. I'm giving it cheerfully because I trust that you are the true need meter of my life. And I tell you what, God will help you in all endeavors. I tell you what, he will help you financially, physically, in the arena of health and all things. God is just going to stretch forth his love and kindness and touch us in every area. Amen? Amen. And so this morning, when we get ready to sow our tithes and offerings, it is coming from a cheerful place. Amen. It is coming from a purposed heart. Amen. It's coming from a tenaciousness that says, I do believe and I do release right now because God is with us. Amen. Hallelujah. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we just lift you up and exalt you this morning. God, I thank you that as everyone comes to bring their tithe and offering, Father, Lord, I thank you that you're abounding towards them. You are rebuking the devourer, Father, and you are releasing favor upon them, Father. Lord, as they purpose in their heart and cheerfully give, God, Father, you are there to see, to know, and to be with us on this journey, Father. And Lord, I thank you that you return to your people, pressed down, shaken together, and running over according to your scriptures. And I thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Bring your tithes and offerings to the front. God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. Bear with me just for a moment here. Oh, yeah. There we go. Praise God. Hallelujah. This morning, I want to talk to you a little bit about enduring in the good pleasure of the Lord. Amen. And I want to remind each and every one of us that the Word of God says this to us in Matthew 24:13. It says, but he that shall endure to the end shall be saved. And I want to talk to you about this just for a minute because of this right here. When we are starting our salvation journey with God, I want you to know that getting saved is the beginning of the process. Amen? And when we see this, that those who endure to the end shall be saved, what I really want us to understand is that when the Lord saved you, he was not looking for 5, 10, 15, 20 years of commitment. No, no, no. When God saved you, he automatically positioned you to be a brand new creature in him. And when we go through the born again process, we are suddenly supernaturally thrust into his kingdom. In fact, it says that the Bible says that when we get saved, we are supernaturally translated into the kingdom of his dear son. In other words, Jesus Christ being Lord and Savior moves us from the natural into a heavenly existence, even though we are still on this earth. Now, I tell you what, you might look in the mirror and think that you're the same person, but the truth is, you're not the same person. There's a supernatural dimension of you where your spirit is now alive in you, and you have actually stepped into what God always intended for you. See, what I want you to know is that when the Bible says those who endure to the end shall be saved, the Lord is looking at every one of us, and he has a destiny for us. Amen? And I want you to know the very fact that you are sitting here represents how God predetermined to have a will for you to follow that would make you, help you move into the things that God has for your life. Amen? And our Father has saved us, blessed us, and has filled us. And so we want to make sure that we endure to the end of the journey. I want you to know that there should never be a thought for a Christian to think about not being a Christian. Amen? This is who you are. Upon your salvation, you have been pulled into a place of God's grace. And so I want you to know how to endure and to understand that there are due seasons coming upon your life that are great and blessed and important. And I want to go right here to 1 Peter chapter 2. And in 1 Peter chapter 2, I just want to read some scriptures for you. Because it says right here in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9, but you are a chosen generation. See, here's one thing I need each of us to remember, that the word of God says that Jesus says, hey, you did not choose me, I chose you. You understand? And what that means is that we are a chosen generation even now in the time in which we live. Every generation of people from the beginning of time till now has had people that give their life to the Lord. And it's out of the reservoir of that arena of faith that generation after generation can live because we are a people of faith. And what we pray and what we believe God for and what we ask God to intervene in is all being impacted by our faith. The Bible says that not only are we chosen, I mean, when we really see that, there is a handpicking of God saying, Nate, before you were ever in your mother's womb, there was a decision by God that you needed to be born within the time frames you're born. And when it says that we're a chosen generation, each of us, we might be at different ages, we might be at different stages within our life, but the thing is, God knew all of those things. And he also knew that you would be a generation of people that when you chose to serve him, you could make a dynamic difference in the earth. Amen? And so I want you to know that God is with us in this journey and proving those things to us and bringing us to a certain place. It says that not only are you a chosen generation, but you are a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people. Now, first of all, let's just sit there and look at a royal priesthood. How many of you think of yourself as royalty? Boy, it almost sounds like I'm trying to say a swear word at you or something, huh? When I look at you and I say that you are royalty. Now, I didn't say it. The Bible said it. The Bible says that you are a royal priesthood. That means that you are a king and a priest. And what that means is that a part of your peculiar identity and a part of who you are as a person is there is an authority in what you have to say. See, this is why we need to know that our words are measured and our words are treasures that come through our heart by faith. And when we release something, we are releasing something supernatural when we speak. We are a royal priesthood. And that means that not only are you a king, but a priest. That means that you can handle the word of God. It means that the Lord is going to reveal to you the truth that's in the word. And you, as a person, as a spirit, as a child of the living God, you have an authority which is going to speak out and do things in the earth. Amen? You are a part of a royal priesthood. It also says here that you are a peculiar people. Did you know that you are peculiar? I know you guys think I'm peculiar and strange, but hello, join the club. I want you to know something. I know that you guys think I'm a peculiar, strange little creature and fella, but I want each and every one of you to know that you're a part of the same club. Amen? And what it means to be a peculiar people is that we are unique. We are set apart. This is why to realize the most important thing you are in life is a Christian before you're anything. It's so critical because that will protect you and cause you to be one that follows after God. See, we are peculiar in that we're not people that just get up and live our life every day. We are peculiar in that when we get up, hopefully the first thing you do is engage the Lord. The first thing you do is think about God. Think about his will. Think about his purpose. Think about what you're going to do today for God. And I hope that you're reading your word. I hope that you're praying. Because as a peculiar person, you are supposed to be so different from the world. And this is how you are different. You are different because you do not slight the word of God. I want you to know something, that the word of God is not a suggestion book. The word of God is not a good idea book. I want you to know that the word of God is the sovereign released word from heaven with life, power, anointing, and authority that when it's applied to your life, it's going to transform things. And so we as peculiar people, as those that are different, as those that are looked upon as aliens to this world, our peculiarity is we believe in tithing. Not only do we believe in tithing, but we've released tithe into our life, and each one of us has to say that we have seen the benefits of God. He has improved us. He has helped us. He has moved us. We are peculiar. We are unique people in that what we do is we make room for the Lord, amen? When we go to work, we just don't go to work by ourselves or thinking that we're doing all this on our own. No, no, no. When we go to work, we thank God that he's given us an assignment and we are tithing and we are believing and we are praying even for our workplace and people within it, amen? That makes you a peculiar person. You're doing something that not everybody else does that's not saved and that's a part of the world, amen? And this is a part of your identity, that you actually take on the nature and the authority of God and you start doing things by faith that are a reflection of what's required within the kingdom and what's spoken within the kingdom. Amen? I want you to know that we are a peculiar people. We are different. We are strange. We are unique. But we are also exactly the way God designed humanity to operate. I tell you what, could you imagine how little murder, how little devastation, how little destruction would be on the earth if every person was saved? See, it's the will of God that everyone would receive him. Amen? Not just one, not just two, not just a handful. It is the will of God. I want you to know that when you are walking down the street, everybody that walks past you are people that it's God's will to be saved. I want you to know that when you're in the store shopping, every person that's around you, you can just look around and you can know it is the will of God for every one of these people to be saved. The cashier that waits on you, it's the will of God for her to be saved. When you go out and do all your activities and your works and your jobs, whether you work in a factory, whether you work anywhere, whether you're your own business, whoever you are and whatever you do, I want you to know that every time you run into anybody, it is the will of God for that person to be saved, and there's a destiny that hangs in the balance within the people that you are around. Praise God. So God is looking for us to be a peculiar people, and he's also looking for us that we should show forth the praises of him who's called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Now, I want you to know something, that God expects you to show forth his praises. In other words, there are things that God has done for you whereby which you ought to testify of them. Amen? And there are things that God has done for you which I hope you are sharing with other people when you get the opportunity about his goodness. Because he has, as it says right here, called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. I want each and every one of us to know that before we were saved, we were living in darkness. Now, I'm telling you that you thought you were wide awake, and I'm not saying that you didn't get up from sleep and get your day started, but what I'm saying is that before you were saved, you lived in a darkened lifestyle where things and oppressions and addictions could just rule you and overtake you, where discouragement and depression was an everyday part of your life. And I don't know where and when you got saved, but I will tell you that that was just the beginning of what God wants to pour out in your life. And so when we see this, that he brought us out of darkness and set us into his light, what that light is salvation. That light is understanding the kingdom of God. It's being available to pray now. It's being available to read the word of God. It's being available to not just learn what's in the word, but then to take action steps and start releasing your faith to see the supernatural of God in this life. Amen? So I want you to be those peculiar people. I want you to endure. I want you to be what God has called us to be, that royal priesthood, because that is what God is calling us to. And as we step into this new year, and as we are positioned ourselves to see God work on our behalf, it is time for us to press in. It is time for us to dig deep, and it's time for us to know. It says here, which in time past, we were not a people. That means before we were saved, we were certainly not God's people, and we were confused. But it says, but are now the people of God, which had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. I want you to know something, that it is a powerful thing to know that you live under mercy every day. That you live under the grace of God, who on a day-to-day basis is ready to give you mercy and meet you right where you're at on every day. See, this is why we declare that this is the day that the Lord has made. We're going to rejoice and be glad, because every day God has his eyes open to who and where you are. And every day God anticipates being involved in who you are as a person. It says, dearly beloved, I beseech you as strangers and pilgrims, abstain from lusty flesh, which war against the soul. In other words, because we are now saved, we learn and we know those things that should not be going on in the life of a Christian, and we refrain and abstain from doing those things. Amen? Because we want to walk under the anointing, the power, and the goodness of God's grace upon our life. We were never a people before, but we are now his people. Amen? In other words, the Bible says that before a man gets saved, he's actually, once he gets saved, says he passes out of darkness into salvation and into life. Amen? And then we can begin to live our life according to the way the will of God is. And that's empowered, that is strengthened, that's being a person of faith, and that is getting the opportunity to have abundant life working for you. Amen? And I tell you what, God is with us on every occurrence of our faith. I want to go over here for just a minute and I'm going to go to 2 Timothy, praise God. And I want to look at 2 Timothy chapter 2. And it says here in verse 3, "Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No man that warreth entangle himself in the affairs of this life, but that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier." I want you to know something. Again, you are chosen. You are chosen. That means that God desired you, called you, pulled you, requested of you to come into the kingdom of God and to be a child of the living God. And then while we're in this process, I need us to know something, that there are going to come moments in life that are tough. We are going to come up against roadblocks and difficulties. We are going to come up against disappointments. We're going to see some things sometimes that we wish went differently. But even though those things are going on, we are built to endure them. The Lord would not tell you to endure hardness like a good soldier if it wasn't because you were already a good soldier that's able to endure. See, the very fact that the Lord says endure hardness like a good soldier, Dave, speaks to our identity. It lets us know that we are well equipped to take care of the adversity that comes after our life on a day-to-day basis. Amen? And our God is faithful, and our God is with us to make sure that we can accomplish those things that are around us. And it says, "If a man also strive for masteries, yet is he not crowned, except he strive lawfully." So we know that in order for us to receive the promises of God, in order for us to be established in God, we have to do things the way that God tells us to do them, and let him be the orchestrator of our life, of our heart, and of what we have to do. Amen? Praise the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. And I want to go right now to the book of Luke, because we are talking about enduring, and I also want you to fear not. Amen? And so we are going to look right here in the book of Luke chapter 12. And as we look at Luke chapter 12, I want you to see a profound statement that the Lord makes to us. I love these words in red because we know that that's what Jesus said. And in Luke 12, 31, it says something very familiar to us. "But rather seek ye the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added unto you." But then it says a profound statement. It says, "Fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom." Wow. Fear not, children of God. Fear not, because it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. In other words, each and every one of us can have a great confidence that when we pursue life in God's way and we're handling our life through the word and we start letting God take over and we're really faithful to what God says, then I'm telling you that he says, fear not, because it is his good pleasure to give us the kingdom. What that means to us, each and every one of us, is that it is actually God's great joy. God delights. God gets encouraged. And if you could think of God being encouraged, however that would happen. But what we need to understand is that it is a joy and a blessing to God to release unto us his kingdom. I mean, it's one thing to give God pleasure, but to see him say good pleasure means that it's an abundance, means that it's a moment of joy, happiness. It's a moment of bringing forth something that God wants to reveal to us and is excited to reveal to us. Fear not, it says. Now, I want you to know something, that we do have to have a reverencing godly fear about our life. But that is the reverence to say, hey, God, I love you so much. I want to do things your way. And that is our love that says, God, because I love you, I'm going to purpose to live holy and live right. But God, other than that, when we talk about fear, I'm talking about the terrifying fear that brings dread and worry and stress. That is not supposed to be a part of our relationship with God. Amen. Fear not, little flock. In other words, be encouraged. Stand strong. Look up. Think of those things that are above and not beneath. Don't you be in fear. You be encouraged because I'm with you and I desire to do things on your behalf. Amen? That is our God and that is his promise to us. It's his good pleasure to give us the kingdom. And then it says this. Sell that you have and give alms. Provide yourselves bags which wax not old and a treasure in the heavens that faileth not, where no thief approacheth, neither moth corrupteth. For where your treasure is, there shall your heart be also. And what I really want to speak to us about right now is that when the Bible says sell what you have and do this, in other words, it means abandon what you currently trust in. Abandon what you currently trust in. See, sometimes people will have a confidence in money. Sometimes people will have a confidence in addictive behaviors. Sometimes people will have a confidence in being angry, even though the Bible says, be angry and sin not. What that means is that now there's no room for you to lose control of your temper and become so angry that you don't know what you're going to say or do. These are things that become places where God can help you and fortify you, but you're going to have to lay it down and you're going to have to trade in what you trust in right now to trust in God. I'm telling you that there are times when it comes to addictions and certain patterns in our life, there are times where we just need to go to God and say, okay, God, I'm going to trust you. I used to trust this. I used to trust that. But now I'm giving that up and I am going to trust you. Because the Bible again says that for where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. And our heart should have its treasure in the kingdom of God. Amen? See, I want us to remind ourselves that we are in this thing to endure to the end. Remember that we don't want to just run our race for a couple years. We don't want to just run our race for 5 years. We want to make sure that we lockstep with God and that we have no other option and that we are going to live this life for him, through him, and by him, because he says that when we finish our course, there's an entire eternity of eternal life to live. Oh, I tell you what, even when we lose something and lose things on this earth, one thing we can have a confidence is that when we go to heaven, especially with those loved ones who go before us, there's going to be a restoration ceremony and a celebration that's going to absolutely blow our minds. So we want to endure till the end because the end is actually just the new beginning. See, if we follow God to the end of our life, it's actually just a new beginning that's going to erupt in us. Remember, Mark 10:28-30 says that not only will the Lord give us 100-fold of blessing in this life, but in the life to come, eternal life. Amen? You are eternal beings right now. You've been already translated into the kingdom of his dear son. You're supernatural right now, even though you're living out an experience here that we live. You are a supernatural reflection from the Lord and his love for each and every one of us. So we want to make sure that we recognize and know that it is a good pleasure. It is a joy for God to be involved in our life, and it is a joy for God to do what he does in our life. Hallelujah. Now I want to go over here to the book of Galatians. Hallelujah. And this will be a real popular scripture to you, but I really believe that God wants me just to release this into us, put this in our spirit, and just get us settled on something. And it says in the book of Galatians chapter 6, "For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption, but he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting." I want you to know something, that why do I read the word? So I'm sowing into my spirit. Why do I come to church? So I sow into my spirit. Why do I pray? So that I sow into my spirit. Why do I make confessions of faith? Why do I try to live in mercy, peace, and grace? Why do I want to reflect the fruits of the Spirit? Because you need to sow into your spirit. Because when we sow into the Spirit, we shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. Do you realize that you need to be sowing into the kingdom of God and into the things of God? Amen? Because as we do that, those things will bring us to a place of eternal life. And it says here, "And let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not." Now I want to talk to you just for a minute about what this says. Don't go weary in well-doing, because in due season. I want you to know that when we look up that word "due," it's as to say something has come to a place where a payment or an outcome has to be made. You know, if we were talking about your bill, boy, the heating bill is going to be due after this cold front that we got going on. But if we were to talk about that, we know that there's a date out there where something's due. And I want you to know that when you are doing well, we can't afford to ever grow weary. When we are living for God, when we are using our faith, when we are exercising everything we know to be a part of God, boy, we can't afford to grow weary in that. We can't afford to stop. We can't afford to pull back. We can't afford to give up. You want to know why? Because in due season, you shall reap. And I tell you what, there's a season coming where you're going to see what you're believing for. There's a moment in time where God is going to meet you and release to you exactly what you have in your heart. So make sure that you do not grow weary in well-doing. Make sure that you stay consistent, that you stay faithful. Why? Because your Father's faithful, isn't he? And he was faithful to bring us Jesus. He's faithful to give us eternal life. And he is faithful to meet every need in every place that you're going to run into. Amen? So we do not want to grow weary in well-doing, because in due season we shall reap, and we shall not, and we shall see the goodness of God. Hallelujah. And it says that a part of doing well and being where you need to be appropriately positioned for your due season to come to pass is in verse 10. It says, "As we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all, especially unto them who are of the household of faith." So one thing that is super powerful is continue to do good. Continue to do what you know to be right. Continue to keep the Lord out in front of you and continue in the ways of God. Amen? Amen. Give the Lord a hand clap of praise today. Hallelujah. I tell you what, I'm going to be here to pray for anybody that needs prayer. But before I do that, I'm just going to pray for us in general. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we thank you that we are a peculiar people, a royal priesthood. Father, we thank you that that means that authority and power is in what we pray. It is in what we do. And when we release our faith, God, and we partake in the kingdom, it says that the Bible says that you take good pleasure, brings you a joy, delights you to see us walk within the kingdom. Now, Father, I pray right now that a strengthening and an empowerment would come upon us, God. Father, I pray that every one of us, God, would be just blanketed in the strength of God. Let us have a confidence in everything you do in our life. Let us have a confidence in your hand being upon us, Father, and your desire to see good in every one of our lives. Lord, we just declare it and we lift you up today, God. And Father, I just pray that you bring your hand of mercy. We just read how there's mercy upon us, God. I thank you that you bring your hand of mercy and grace upon every one of us, God. And God, that you strengthen us, hallelujah. Lord, that as good soldiers, we would endure, Father. We would chase every challenge, Father. We would face every battle. And we would know that without fail, you're bringing it to pass and you're bringing good things our way, God. Now, Father, I declare it, that we're going to fear not, that we're going to endure, and that we are going to see the goodness of the kingdom of God. And Lord, I just declare it and thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen.